So Lord, for life spared to another broadcast time, you are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alan A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will take us and take our broadcast, make it a blessing to you today. We open the musical part of our service today with the choir singing for us, He Took My Sins Away. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for sending your Son into this world to make it possible for us to be delivered from sin and from its bondage. And we're thankful that we have the privilege of presenting thy message to this precious people today. You see everyone in our congregation, whether it be in this country or in another country. You can see around the world, and you see every individual on the face of the earth. And we're thankful that you love everyone. So bless this broadcast to this precious people today. And if there be those who do not know thee, I trust and pray that the Holy Spirit will deal with hearts, convict souls, and draw them unto thee. For the Bible says, the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. So take us, use this broadcast, and make it a blessing to souls. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelled, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. He
Our subject for today's broadcast, How Salvation is Obtained and Its Results. Our text of Scripture is a very familiar one, the angel's message to Mary. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This may be an old story, but it is still up to date. And I'd like for you to consider with me today how salvation is obtained and its results. Now, I'm not talking about signing a decision card. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about just being spiritual, as they call it today. I'm talking about an experience that's called salvation. And first of all, faith is a condition of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And you notice here, for by grace, and the word grace means in part unmerited favor. So by the grace of God, through faith in God and through in His Son Jesus Christ, then we have salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith that Jesus is the Savior and will save is necessary before one seeks Him. He who rejects God's word and does not believe in Christ is in no position to be saved. For the Scriptures clearly teach us that there is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Peter told the multitude there on the day of Pentecost that there's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we may be saved. Only one Son of God begotten by the Holy Ghost. And only one that died upon the cross to make it possible for us to be saved. Now, faith is an emotional thing. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. I'm not talking about being saved by faith, or by feelings rather. I'm talking about being saved by faith. And it's not a matter of whether you feel something or whether you don't feel it, but it isn't an emotional thing. Faith is emotional. And if you really have salvation faith, it will affect your emotions, of course. Now, saving faith is volitional. It is a voluntary acceptance of Christ with all that it involves therein. It is a full commitment of one's self in humble and trust and obedience to Christ. I say it is volitional. It is something that you must choose. No one else can choose for you. No one can make you be saved. Even God Himself is not going to make you be saved. He said, I set before you life and death, good and evil. You choose. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Joshua charged the children of Israel, if it seem evil in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose whom you will serve, whether the gods that were on the other side of the river or the gods in whose land you dwell. He said, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so salvation is volitional. It's something that you must choose. And if a person is lost, don't blame God. You'll have to put the blame where it belongs. If a person rejects God and rejects his salvation and goes out into eternity lost, he does so by choice. Now, repentance is a requirement. Repentance is associated with faith. We are called on to repent as well as to believe. Jesus preached, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." After John the Baptizer was put in prison, Jesus came into the coast of Galilee, preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And so repentance and also faith goes together. Repentance is turning from sin. Repentance includes a complete change of desires and attitudes. The word convert means to change, to turn, not from the one thing, sinful thing, to another sinful thing. No, when you turn from sin, then you turn to God. And you must turn away from sin to be able to turn to God and obtain the salvation of your soul. So repentance is turning from sin, and it includes a complete change of desire and attitudes. Repentance is induced by godly sorrow. This is a sincere sorrow for sin. Not because you were found out, sorry, because you were exposed or uncovered. No, we're talking about a godly sorrow for sin. The fact that you have transgressed against the law of God. You have broken His commandments and you have grieved God. So this is a sincere sorrow for sin. A hatred for sin because it is offensive to God. To be sorry for one's own sake is not enough. The inward feeling of godly sorrow destroys love for sin and issues in charge in its intention and conduct. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. True repentance causes one to make such confessions and reparations for their sinful ways, their sinful deeds. And I'd like to read at this point from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, beginning with verse 14. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he hath robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Let me also read verse 13 of this 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall surely die for it. So this idea of once saved, always saved is not biblical. The fact that a person can turn away from righteousness and return to a life of sin, and I have just read it for you out of Ezekiel 33:13. Now, let us think for a moment about the assurance of salvation. Some people would have you to believe that you can't really know whether you are saved or not. You can hope so, but you don't really know. Again, the Bible does not teach that. We have assurances in the Bible. Can we know that we are saved? Some people do not think so. But that is not what the Bible teaches, I say. We know that we have passed from death unto life. 1 John chapter 3 and the first part of verse 14. We know that we are of God, 1 John 5 and 19. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, we are told, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You know, you read in the Bible about Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, dying. And he was dead for 4 days. And Jesus went there and resurrected him. He's called to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." And there he stood at the mouth of the tomb alive. Now, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Do you think he knew that he was alive whenever Christ called him out of that tomb? Well, of course he knew he was alive. Well, whenever you are born again, then you are alive. Whenever you repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, and God saves you, then you are alive. And if you are alive to Christ, surely you know it. You're not dead to sin any longer. You have he quickened who were dead to trespasses and sin. But he hath quickened us and made us alive. By grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:16. The gift that the Spirit once caused to us to feel is gone. And let me repeat that. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are of the children of God. Romans 8:16. The guilt that the Spirit once caused us to feel is gone, and now he makes us aware that we have God's approval on our life. Our own spirit testifies to our salvation. Paul said, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you have that experience, you know it. Condemnation is gone. And now you have a peace of mind, peace of heart, and peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You no longer love the world. You no longer want to sin. You no longer want to disobey God. You love God, and you want to please him. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And if you are really and truly a child of God, have an experience of salvation, you do love God, and you do want to please him. Now, let's look at the results of salvation. I've already mentioned some things, but permanent results comes in consequence of salvation. Salvation brings freedom from sin. I repeat that. Salvation brings freedom from sin. No, you do not sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought. I was looking at something on the internet not long ago, and there was a list of things there that some man had put up there, and things that he was branding as false doctrine. And one of the things that he branded as false doctrine was, if you said after you became a Christian that you were no longer a sinner, then that was false doctrine. I'm sorry that that man accuses the Bible of teaching false doctrine, because the Bible does not teach false doctrine. The Bible teaches us that whenever we are saved from sin, we no longer commit sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. To say that you are a Christian and still a sinner is contradictory to the truths of the Word of God. It's contrary to the facts of the matter. You have to die to sin to be made alive to Christ. And if you're still alive to sin, that means that you are dead to Christ. Again, I say you have to die to sin to be made alive to Christ. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, remember, I'm reading this out of the Bible. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. So we read in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7, 8, and the first part of 9. Now that's what the Bible teaches, and that's the reality of salvation. That's the results of salvation. Being saved, being delivered from sin. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to open the prison house, and he came to set the captive free. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. I understand Muslims believe it is blasphemy to call God Father. Becoming a child of God, having God as our Father, is one of the most blessed experiences that a person can have. It's the results of salvation. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. If you have salvation, you are a child of God, and God is your Father. Jesus is giving his disciples a model prayer, started it out by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Paul wrote to the Romans, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you are a son of God, then God is your heavenly Father. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:14 and verse 16. As sons of God, we partake of our Heavenly Father's divine nature. Yes, we partake of our Heavenly Father's divine nature, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. As sons of God, we live to his glory. As sons of God, we are heirs of salvation. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have access to all spiritual blessings, and heaven with all of its glories is ours. Now, beloved, what I have read today and what I have said today is not some exaggeration. It's not some fairy tale. It is, thus saith the Lord. Again, the message to Mary and Joseph was, She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The very word salvation itself means deliverance. And if you were in a burning building and somebody came in and rescued you and saved you out of that burning building, they would not leave you in there to burn to death. No, they would not have delivered you if they did that. To be delivered means that you are saved. If a person was drowning and somebody went out and saved them from drowning, they wouldn't leave them there and let them drown in the water. They would bring them unto shore, and that would be salvation. They saved them from drowning. And so it is when it comes to living the Christian life, being saved. You are delivered from sin. You're no longer in sin. You're no longer in the cesspool of iniquity. You're a child of God and in the family of God. And God is your heavenly Father, and Christ is your Savior, your Lord, your Master, your all in all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of the gospel. We thank you for the privilege of sharing it with our congregation today. And we trust the Holy Spirit will bear witness to hearts, and blessing will come from these efforts. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. And we do trust it has been a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. And if you have a prayer request, feel free to share it with us. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to be with us if possible for our services. They are broadcast live over the internet. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service at 6. Our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We do thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when again the Lord willing will come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Once like a bird in prison,
we